So we're starting out talking about some differences in the Bible and questions that arise about that. And there is a unscriptural theory floating around out there that has no basis in the Bible at all. It's another patch job by those who don't rightly divide the word of truth. They don't have an answer for some things in the Bible because they don't rightly divide. They don't even keep the context in those various portions of Scripture that they have questions about. But questions are good. Sincere questions are good. Not here to debate or argue, just to try and expose what the Scriptures say. And, you know, it's up to each person to believe or not believe the Bible. They, you know, when people don't understand what is really being said in the Bible, they attempt to manufacture a scenario that would explain what they don't understand. They say it must be this way for that to be true or whatever. So the Bible has to be true. You know, they still claim that they believe the Bible and that the Bible is without error because of these crutches they put in there to make it seem like... All you have to do, really, is believe what the words on the page say, and the Bible is understood then. God said exactly what he meant. We don't have to doctor it up. We don't have to try and save God from lying in the Bible, which is what it amounts to when they do that. Anyway, this particular theory has been around for years. It's been fractured, adapted. You know, it's undercover in some instances, but many ways it's been changed, but it comes out to pretty much the same thing. The essence of it is that there is only one gospel, then and now, forever. There's only always been one gospel, only one program of God, only one kingdom. Never mind what Genesis 1:1 says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And never mind all the scriptures and what they say will happen before Ephesians 1:10. 1:10 tells us that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things. All things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So that theory that's floating around out there about one gospel only, it claims that everybody, Jew and Gentile, is under the new covenant. Well, like we said, there's absolutely no scripture that says that or that it's baseless, if there is such a word. But the promises that God made to Israel, they claim they apply to both Jews and Gentiles, but that theory claims there's only one gospel and that it only appears to be different because it shows different aspects of God's only program. Well, how should I put it, short-sighted. Incomplete, and you know, to claim those things because it's just without basis in Scripture. They have to totally ignore or disbelieve many scriptures to believe their theory. Let me list them first, some of these things that have to be disbelieved, and then we'll go through each one and look at the verses for them. We depend on the Scripture. Without the Scripture, we're just speculating, like the theories are. So first, we'll look at these things. This is some of the things. I've got seven listed here. I'm sure there's more, but I could be wrong. But I do have seven here listed. First of all, the word "my" in Paul's specific "my gospel." They have to disbelieve that he said that. This gospel is my gospel, not that other one. This one is mine. He said my gospel, and that was, I'll give you the verses, but we'll go through them in a few minutes. In fact, we'll just wait and go through them when I get through this list. Number two, this. They have to ignore or disbelieve the word this in Paul's this salvation in Acts 13:26. Thirdly, the word nothing. That's in Paul's Galatians 2 statement that they added nothing to me. Galatians 2:6. The fact that there are two gospels they have to disbelieve. The two promised destinations, earthly destination and a heavenly destination for two different groups of people. They have to disbelieve that there are two churches, and we'll show various scriptures that show there are two churches. At least two, put it that way. It depends on the time you're talking about, too. At the present time, there is only one body of Christ church. But during the writing of the Bible, in certain parts of the Bible, there were two valid churches going on at the same time. And two apostleships, two sendings, two apostleships, two groups of people sent to two different purposes. All right, that's the seven that I've got listed. Let's see what God actually said in the scriptures. Number one, the first thing, the word my in my gospel that Paul used. Look at Romans 2:16. If someone can post these, that would help. Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. It's inspired in Scripture. I mean, it's verified that there is a my gospel that's Paul's, not the one that went before. Now, this is Romans 16:25. In Romans 16:25, now to him that is of power to establish you, make you stable, in other words, unknockable over, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. That's one of the functions of my gospel. It's one of those three things that establish us. And not only my gospel, but the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, not according to his earthly walk, but according to what was revealed that had been kept secret, the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Third verse on that same thing about my gospel, 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Well, according to Paul's gospel, in Romans 4:25, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead for our justification. But according to Peter, in the 12, Israel's 12 apostles, in his preaching for Israel, Jesus Christ was raised to sit on the throne of David. Acts 2:30. So there is a difference. Different messages, different group of apostles. Let's look at the word this in Paul's specific statement in Acts 13:26. This salvation. It reads, men and brethren. So there's two groups of people right there. And he describes them. The brethren is the children of the stock of Abraham. And then he goes on about the men and brethren, whosoever among you feareth God. So besides those children of the stock of Abraham, those Jews, there were some that weren't Jews, that were Gentiles. But they feared God. That's why they were in the synagogue. And he goes on to say to those two groups of people, to you is the word of this salvation sent. To the other people, there's another. You know, there was the gospel of the kingdom. There was the law and the prophets. There was build thou an ark out of gopher wood. There were a lot of other good newses and gospels in the Bible. But right now, Paul is introducing one. Not right now, today. Right now in this verse we're looking at. Acts 13:26. He was introducing them to this gospel that he was saved by. It was a new pattern of gospel. So, yep, build a ship, a great big boat. I got the concessions to watch them build those boats in the backyards of people that don't think God works differently at different times. All right. Number three, the third word, nothing. The word nothing in Paul's added nothing to me. Let's look in Galatians 2:6. Galatians 2:6. But of these who seem to be somewhat, and he's talking about Peter, Cephas, James, and John that were named earlier in the context, or later, I guess it is, or maybe both, but in they're listed in verse 9 also. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. He had told them what he's preaching among the Gentiles in verse 2, and he says in verse 6, they added nothing to it. They didn't. In other words, they didn't have to be circumcised. Paul's converts didn't have to be circumcised like those people that came down from Jerusalem to Antioch said they had to be, and they had to keep the law according to those people. But you get into, you know, if you're worried about that, in Acts 15:24, James and Peter and the apostles there declare that they didn't send them. They never gave them authority to go to Antioch and teach that Paul's converts had to be circumcised and had to keep the law. That wasn't from that Jerusalem church. Not by the authority of the church. The people came from there, yeah. All right, let's look at the fourth of these, fourth in the list, about two gospels, there being two gospels rather than just one, as the theory goes. Galatians 2, verse 7, and then we're going to look in Acts 13:38, but Galatians 2:7 first. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, now it's Paul talking, and it was committed unto Paul, the gospel of the uncircumcision, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, was committed unto Peter. So you've got the two gospels listed there. One for the one of the circumcision, one of the uncircumcision. But anyway, let's go on to Acts 13:38 and 39. We'll read both verses. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren. There's those men and brethren again that he had defined 12 verses earlier in verse 26 as being Jews and God-fearing Gentiles. In the synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia. Be it known unto you therefore, brethren, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Now they'd been acquainted with the remission of sins until Christ returns to blot out their sins, according to Acts 3, 19 and 20 and 21 in there. But this is something immediate. Their sins are forgiven upon belief. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So, as you recall, the law of Moses and the law and the prophets was until John, and afterwards the kingdom is preached, and all men press into that. Luke 16:16. So there is, it's not the gospel of the kingdom, it's before that, isn't it? It's before John. The law of Moses that was continuing on then through the time of when Paul was comparing his gospel to the law of Moses, and he said, you know, by Jesus Christ, and he's just gone through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in verses 28, 29, and 30, and then from 30 to 37, he's giving them the gospel of God, who Jesus is, that he is the prophesied Messiah, that he is the Son of God, the Christ, to take the seat of the throne of David, and he says, by this man, is preached unto you forgiveness of sins. All that believe are justified from all things. Now that's salvation. That's the gospel of salvation for us today. So there's two gospels right there in those two verses. You can see them. The one that Paul's talking about and the one he's comparing it to, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. All right, fifth in the list, the two promised destinations. Two destinations. One promised to us and one promised to Israel. Let's look at Israel's first. Genesis 12, verse 7. And then we'll look at Genesis 13, verse 15. But Genesis 12, 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So there's the first mention of the land being given to Israel, or to Abram and his seed, the first mention I could find. But let's come a little later here in Genesis 13, verse 15. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Forever. It's a long time. Let's go to Acts 13 again. That sermon by, that's in the sermon by Paul in Antioch of Pisidia. And he said, and when he had destroyed, he's talking about Israel's history here, he said, when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. Not the person lot, by that's the way they decided back then. The Lord worked through the lot. It says right there, he divided their land to them by lot. He used the lot to do it, in other words. It was God working, just like before there was the Word of God, the completed Word of God in the canon of Scripture, the Lord used people of other tongues to evangelize Israel. Tongues were not for those that believe, but for those that do not believe, and they're also narrowed down as to who they're for by the Jews require a sign. It was for the Jews that there were tongues invented and other signs from the Lord. All right, that's about the earthly inheritance, the earthly destination of God's earthly people, Israel. Let's look at the heavenly destination of God's heavenly people. Look in, and we've got a whole string of verses about that, probably 9 or 10 of them. Start in Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. There it is right there. That he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. And then in Philippians 3:20 tells us, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that word conversation is it would be the Greek that it's translated from into our language, but that word can also be translated citizenship and commonwealth. Philippians 3:20, for our conversation, it just gives you a wider view of what, a better view of what the word is talking about. Our conversation's in heaven. That's where we're planted. From whence also we look for the Savior. Go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. And, I hope you're following along in a Bible or marking down the verses. For we know that, this is 2 Corinthians 5, 1, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Where is it? It's in the heavens. For how long? Eternal in the heavens. 1 Thessalonians 4, and these will cover the rest of the... these are the rest of that 9 verses I mentioned, okay? 9 or 10. Starting in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, we'll go through 18. Probably the most detailed description of what happens at the catching up of the body of Christ. But I would not have you to be ignorant. In other words, don't ignore this, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Those that have no hope, you can understand them sorrowing. You don't have to sorrow. You've got a future, and they, your loved ones that, well, he says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For we say unto you by the word of the Lord, this is verse 15, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Prevent, then, mean it comes from the Latin to come, and pre, of course, you know, we understand that to be before, so they shall not come before them which are asleep. We which are alive, let me get the reading here, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or come before them that are asleep. And he explains why we won't come before them. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So they're rising before us, in the twinkling of an eye, maybe, but somewhat before us. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. We shall meet the Lord in the air, it says, leaving out that extra clause in there. Let me read it as it's written, though. But then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. All right, sixth in the list. We need to keep moving or we won't get finished. The two churches. Two churches. At that time, at the time of the writing of the history book, inspired history book of Acts, and the inspired, Paul's inspired epistles, the first six of which were written during that same Acts period, and possibly some of the early prison epistles, because in the last two verses of Acts, he was in prison. But two churches. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. And you can see who Paul wrote 1 Corinthians to. You can see some of who he wrote it to. Let's put it that way. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. Well, the church of God, we're told in, Galatians, let's take a side trip here. Look at Galatians 1:13, I think it is. Paul giving his testimony of before his conversion. He says, for you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. So the church of God existed before the first member of the body of Christ was saved in Acts 9, Paul. The church of God is that little flock. It's the Israel of God. Peter, James, John, the 3,000 or 5,000 there in Jerusalem that had sold all, brought the money to the apostles' feet to be distributed as needed. That's the church of God. And Paul says he's writing unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. with all that in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. So he's talking to people that call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not trust in Christ to have died for their sins. That's a different gospel. But the Church of God, when Paul would go into a synagogue and they had not heard the gospel, they were following the law and the prophets, and some of those in distant lands, places there where he would go, they hadn't heard that there was a Messiah. I mean, it wasn't cell phones there, and there weren't, you know, internet, fast communications, put it that way. Some of them hadn't heard that that Jesus had come and that he was the Messiah. Paul goes in and he preaches to them the gospel of God first, according to Acts 17 and Acts 18 and Acts 26. A lot of places you can find in Acts 13 he preached the gospel of God first, the facts about who Jesus is, before he preached the gospel of how to be saved. But he goes in and some of these people believe that Jesus is the Christ, risen from the dead. And the first time they hear it from Paul, when he preaches the gospel of God. And so of those that believed, well, let me just pull up a verse that'll explain what I'm saying a lot better than I can. Some of them were called to be Body of Christ people. Some of them were called to be believing Jews, like Peter, James, John, Lazarus, Mary. And Paul says, among that crowd there that he's writing to, unto the Church of God, he says, is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. So some of those people would hear the message, and God was calling them to be Body of Christ believers, believers in Paul's gospel that he would preach to them later once he separated them out of the synagogue. And some of them that believed the gospel of God were called to be converted Jews, completed Jews, I should say, probably, Jews that believed that Jesus was the Christ and would have brought in the kingdom had he been believed on by the hierarchy of Jewish religion. And they believed that someday he will be the coming Messiah, just as it's still out there in the future now that he will come and be the Messiah for Israel and clean up on all those nations that gang up on Israel. But anyway, there were two groups of people that came out of that both believed the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, risen from the dead. And so he addresses those two groups of people. They all had been Jews. They all heard the gospel of God. So they all went through that phase of being the Church of God. So he addresses it under the Church of God to them. And this is 1 Corinthians 1:2 again. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call on the name of Jesus, Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, that's the name, the identity of Jesus, that he is the Messiah, risen from the dead. Not Paul's gospel of salvation, though. And he goes on to say, with all that in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. You see the two groups there? Theirs and ours. Both Israel's God, the little flock's God, put it that way, and our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So ours would be Paul in the first member of the body of Christ, and those believers that believed that Christ had died for their sins, and that completely saved them, that they're free of their sins. They're all crucified with Christ. Let's go to another verse. A couple of verses pretty close, actually. 1 Corinthians 11, we'll look at verse 16 and verse 22. 1 Corinthians 11:16. But if any man seem to be contentious, now he'd given some rules here. He says, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. So at that point, he's talking to somebody. I mean, the we isn't the churches of God. He's talking to somebody besides the churches of God. If he was talking only to the church of God, you could read it. But if any man seemed to be contentious, the churches of God have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Well, it wouldn't make sense. So he's talking to somebody else. He's talking to the body of Christ. But if any man seemed to be contentious, he was talking about accommodating the Jews so that they could believe the gospel more easily. They were still in that phase. They hadn't diminished much. Now you get further on in Acts, and that diminishing from Romans 11, verse 12, is much more severe, and it's almost impossible for a Jew to accept it, that Jesus is the Christ, and that we've been fighting against God all this time, and that there is no coming kingdom that was, you know, that Jesus was going to bring. It's not in our lifetime. You know, it just made it harder on them once these accommodations by the Church of God were removed, and that caused the diminishing of Israel. So anyway, in this verse, you've got we the body of Christ have no such custom, neither the churches of God, which would be those Jewish churches that scattered, the churches of Judea, they're called in one place, scattered in the persecution of Paul, and when Saul of Tarsus was persecuting him, leading the persecution. Down to verse 22 now, 1 Corinthians 11:22. What? Have you not houses? Who had the houses? Not the destitute people. Have you not houses to eat in and to eat and drink in? Or despise you the church of God and shame them that have not? They had sold all they had to bring in the kingdom, and the kingdom didn't come, and the money had run out. And God had placed it on the heart of Paul to charge the churches that he was establishing to send money to Jerusalem for the poor saints in Jerusalem, to feed the flock. And so he's talking about behavior right there in that group that had come out from the synagogue and met in Paul's meeting in Corinth in about verse 7, and that would be Acts 18, verse 7, verse 6, 7, and 8 in through there. And they're together. Some that were Jews, we just read in 1 Corinthians 7:18, they were called to be Jews, not to try and be uncircumcised. And there were others that were called to be body of Christ people. He says, don't you try to be circumcised. You're not some kind of spiritual Jew or something. Be the body of Christ that you are. So let me just read the verse once more, and then we'll go on to the next one. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise you the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. So he's kind of scolding them for not being more accommodating to the Jews that were among their group. The former Jews, I should say, they had come out. Some of them, well, they were completed. They were believing the gospel that was presented to them. Paul, first in the synagogue, he preached the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, risen from the dead. Nothing about salvation in there. It's identity of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus that they were to believe. But after he got them out of the synagogue, and the ones that did believe that, then he would preach to them the gospel of salvation, that Christ died for your sins. Believe on him to life everlasting. But while they were still in the synagogue, you know what? Let me just insert a verse here that's not in the verse list. These words spake his parents. This is in John 9:22. While Jesus still walked the earth, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that he, Jesus, was Christ, their Messiah, he should be put out of the synagogue. And there's two or three other places in that area of Scripture that show the same thing. Once they believed, you know, the Jewish hierarchy was against Jesus. And there's some indication that they knew he was the Messiah and were against him anyway, that lest, you know, the Romans come and take away the religion and our place, our position, our high looked up at position among the religious. They knew he was the coming Messiah, and they rejected him anyway. Wow. All right, let's go on. The two apostleships, Galatians 2:8, an apostleship being ascending. The Lord sent one group of people in to do one thing, one job, and the Lord sent another group of people to do another job, that group being Paul and his fellow workers. Some are called apostles, not the apostle of the Gentiles, only Paul was that, but the apostles or missionaries that were sent out to do the work that Paul was sent to do on one side, and the other apostleship. Well, let's read it. Galatians 2:9, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, that would be the 12 apostles that he's talking about, that the Lord worked in, that he wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Now, you might say, well, the word apostle isn't there for Paul, but it is in Romans 11, verse 13, the word apostle is there. So that's what it's talking about in this verse in Galatians 2:8. If you read Romans 11, 13, for I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. So Paul, under inspiration of God, inspired to write Scripture, says, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. Is the singular or plural? It's singular. There is one apostle that Jesus Christ has appointed to the Gentiles. So you've got the two apostleships there. One would be the 12 apostles, Israel's 12 apostles, and the other group of apostles would be Paul and those that worked with him, Timothy, Silas, Barnabas. So Paul wasn't preaching the gospel of Israel's kingdom when he preached in the synagogues. Every time that Paul went into a Jewish synagogue to preach what he called our gospel, or my gospel, he was preaching to people that had already, they were in the synagogue where the scriptures were. They had Exodus 19, verses 3 to 8, telling them that Israel's gospel of a king and a kingdom out of heaven, coming to earth to reign over the earth from the land, that there was a coming king. They knew all about that, the gospel of the kingdom. Until Jesus came, they didn't know it was at hand. It wasn't at hand until he came. But they had it in the oracles of God, kept in the synagogues there, where they defended, I guess, or hung out there. They didn't do their job in ushering the people to God believing that he was the Messiah, but they did have the scriptures. Look at Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6, about this very thing. Exodus 19, 5, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, and remember, part of the covenant there was that God would send, God told Moses, I will send a prophet like unto you. And they didn't receive him. They didn't keep that part of the covenant along with much else. But if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me, a peculiar treasure above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. There you have it. And an holy nation. These are the words that thou, Moses, shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So God had promised that they would be a whole kingdom of priests, and that's yet to come. It's not here yet, or it would still be here. And in Daniel, look in Daniel 2, verse 44. Daniel 2:44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. There's the kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. It wasn't a mystery to them that God was bringing in a kingdom. That's what they were looking for. The God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It's going to be Israel's kingdom, in other words. This people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And he'd just given the thing about the kingdoms. I think that was right at the tail end of the image, you know, with the head and the chest and the legs and the feet of iron and clay, and the stone hitting it in the feet and all that whole image. And in the days of these kings, he's talking about, then shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Well, it's coming yet. It says, at the end of that verse, it says, it shall break in pieces and consume all these nations, and it shall stand forever. Well, if it had come, it would still be here. And all the kingdoms, British Empire, Great Britain, United States, all these kingdoms would have been destroyed and would be under the kingdom of God. But it's not there. It hasn't happened yet. It is yet to happen. So God will keep all his promises to Israel. We're not Israel. God gave us our own promises. Some of them are much better than Israel's, I would say, and I'm glad I'm not Israel. I don't really understand why people try to be what, if they would read the scripture in Acts 7 and then in Acts 28, Israel is lo ami. Israel is not God's people anymore until he brings them back. So understand that every time Paul went into these synagogues, he was giving them another gospel. He was preaching a different gospel, not the kingdom gospel. It was different. It wasn't the blood sacrifices that God had instituted for Israel with the killing of an animal to clothe Adam and Eve. By the time of the flood, Noah was the only one still keeping that blood sacrifice. He was the only one righteous in God's eyes. But our gospel was a different gospel from those that God had already given. But our gospel was not a perverted gospel that people tried to turn around Paul's statement about other gospels to say Paul's was a converted, perverted gospel. That's not the case. It wasn't a gospel that would cause Paul to be accursed, as some people claim. There are those that try to use the warning about non-Pauline gospels to use that same warning against Paul. Whereas Paul is teaching that his gospel is the gospel for them to believe. So that warning wasn't given about not preaching another gospel to those Galatians that he was writing to. Wasn't given until about 23 years after Paul started preaching that gospel in Acts 13 that we read earlier. Acts 13, verse 15 or 16. So Paul did not write to warn people not to believe the gospel that Christ had revealed to him. How foolish to think that. In Galatians 1, verses 6 to 9, Paul was writing those words about other gospels besides Paul's gospel, that he was revealing to them his gospel is a new pattern of salvation. That's why it's different. It was God's pattern by which he would save people from, it says hereafter, after Paul. That's in 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16. Many of those that promote that theory of God always only having one gospel, one church, one kingdom, one destination for believers, they claim that we believers today are under Israel's new covenant. Well, that can't be true either, for that would deny God's word. Look at what God had said, the very words of God. We've got it in the scriptures. Jeremiah 11, verse 10. We'll look at first Jeremiah 11, 10, and then we'll look in Jeremiah 31. But Jeremiah 11, 10 says, they are turned back to their iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. And they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. So that first covenant was broken by all of Israel, both houses, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And then in Jeremiah, and by the way, thanks for posting these verses, pitching in and helping. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Now, where in there do you see the Gentiles? Where do you see the Americans or the Paltalkians or anybody besides Israel? He's making this covenant with the whole nation of Israel, both houses. Do you see it? God will make the new covenant with those with whom he had made the old covenant. And God only, he'll only make that new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Strictly, the whole nation of Israel. The rest of the world, the Gentiles, were left in the same state as when God gave them over to a reprobate mind, being filled with unrighteousness. And we can see that in Romans 1, 28-29. Their position and their situation before salvation, before Paul introduces them to the way that they can be right with God. Look at Romans 1, 28 and 29. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. That's foreign to what we understand that God has made us, isn't it? We're made the righteousness of God in him. But the situation of all the Gentiles were that they were not the ones God had picked a man. Well, they were the ones that God had picked a man out of, Abram. But when he made those covenants, he made them with Abram, not with the rest of us. Our only way to salvation now is to come by the way that Paul, the unforgivable sinner, having blasphemed the Holy Ghost, the way that Paul was saved. So, they think that Israel has more and better blessings than the body of Christ. And that's sad to hear, because it hints that they don't discern things spiritually, which also hints that they have not received the Spirit, which is from God. As in 1 Corinthians 2, remember, start in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2, 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost, now that's part of the Godhead there, which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That's part of the Godhead too, the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. They have to be discerned by someone with the Spirit of God in them. So, and regarding, we're getting close to closing pretty soon, but regarding that theory that there's always only been this same gospel, this one same gospel. They apparently have never examined where they got that idea. That idea is not in the Bible, as we just saw. They had to have been taught that idea in their youth, before they knew to filter everything by what does the Bible say. And if you've been influenced by that theory, there's you know, the theory that only one gospel of salvation is in the Bible, that's the theory, then I urge you to read this. Let me post it in the text there. It's an article, and it is, I think it's very clear, one of the clearest that I've seen, explaining it, the difference. If you go through that, it's got 14 different contrasts. But it's got different contrasts between prophecy, that which was told and what was prophesied about a kingdom coming to the precious treasure, Israel. That's prophecy. But what was kept secret was the mystery, and that was not revealed until Paul, and it compares those two different bodies of doctrine, in the Bible. You just have to rightly divide them, or you'll think it's all confusion and mixed up contradictory statements. They're not. The Bible tells us to rightly divide, and that's in 2 Timothy 2:15. But going on, that article clearly shows the difference between what Jesus on earth taught Israel's 12 apostles to teach, as they taught in Israel there, and what Jesus Christ from heaven taught his only apostle of the Gentiles, Paul, to teach us. Those two lines of doctrine there. To understand the Bible, you have to start with the belief that Scripture is true. If you don't believe Scripture is true, you've got nowhere to go. You've got no. You're saying, you may say it, God, but I don't believe you. That's what you're saying when you say the Scripture isn't true. You have to believe that God isn't going to lie to us, and that Scripture has the answers for these things. There's simply no Scripture on which to base the theory that Jesus and Israel's 12 apostles preached the same gospel to Israel as what Jesus from heaven revealed to Paul to preach to us. There just is no Scripture for that, to imply that even. There's no Scripture telling that Jesus Christ on earth, or Peter, James, John, Philip, any of those, preached. If you go back to Matthew 1:1, and you search all the way up through Acts 8, you can't find them preaching that they could have been saved by Jesus Christ's death on the cross, or by trusting Christ to have died for their sins. That's just not preached, that way to be saved, until you get past Acts 8 into Acts 9. And it's not told immediately, but that's what happened to Paul. We're told later that's what happened. 1 Corinthians 15:3 tells us that. But if it had been told before Paul, then it would no longer have been a mystery when Christ revealed it to Paul. It would have been known material, prophesied, told about. They didn't even preach Isaiah's prophecy for Israel, that Israel was saved because Christ died for their sins. It was a fact that Christ died for their sins, was buried and resurrected, but it was not told them how to access forgiveness and salvation. The facts were given there, but not that they would be saved by believing those facts or by doing anything. That wasn't given as a gospel of salvation before Acts 9. And when you get to Acts 9, when Christ began revealing things to Paul, it had only been announced that Christ would die for the sins of many. In Isaiah 53 and other places, it talks about the sins of many being covered by the Messiah, or born by the Messiah, by the righteous servant, my righteous servant. The many is Israel, the people that God chose as his precious treasure, his holy nation. It was only through Christ's revelations to Paul that we learned in due time that Christ died for the sins of all men, including far off Gentiles, alien Gentiles, like you and like me. So we see that Christ did not preach that kind of salvation. He didn't preach that gospel. When he preached the gospel of the kingdom, believe that the kingdom is at hand, be baptized, repent. That was all about the kingdom. You know why they were baptized? It was Exodus 29. They were to be a kingdom of priests in Exodus 19, and in Exodus 29, the Lord gave the requirement for priests. They had to be washed. And that's what John the Baptist came doing, washing a nation to become a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So, when you study what it was that Paul preached, you find that Paul never preached that we, believers from the Gentiles, would live on earth forever in a kingdom that comes down out of heaven. That's not what Paul preached. Paul teaches that we have a house eternal in the heavens, and we're made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Paul tells us, as we read before, Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven. We're not waiting for a king to come and rule the earth. We're in heaven. Our spirits are already there, seated in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read about that whole catching up that occurs to take us to our home, which is in heaven, our house. So, Christ from heaven was not revealing to Paul what the gospel of the kingdom had promised to Israel. That would be confusion, and God is not the author of confusion. So, they definitely are different gospels. There is almost nothing about them that's the same. We only need to look in the scripture to see what was actually written about it. We're not Israel. We do not get Israel's earthly blessings as well as our body of Christ heavenly blessings. Israel, they did not turn into the body of Christ. Israel does not get the heavenly blessings of the body of Christ in addition to their promised earthly blessings that you can read of in the scriptures. Israel was alone as a nation, not to mingle with other nations. God separated them from us. We're not them. We're separated. They're separated from us. Look at it. Exodus 33, verse 16. Exodus 33:16, and we'll with these about four more verses, and then we're going to close. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Now that's the grace of God. It's not a dispensation of the grace of God. It's just that they found at that time God was gracious to them. Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. They're separate. Look at Leviticus 20, verse 24. And we'll look at verse 26 also, but starting with verse 24 in Exodus 20. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Remember that we're that other people there that the Lord, from which the Lord has separated Israel. So Leviticus 20, verse 26, "And you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine." Again and again, we're not Israel. Israel was separated from us. So, one final verse, and then we're closing. Numbers 23, verse 9. "From the top of the rocks I see him, from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations." So the people, Israel is referred to by this people or the people. They live alone. They're not counted. They're not among the nations. They're a separate, precious treasure unto the Lord. Okay, I'm done. Let me see if I can find any questions in the text there.